Welcome to Legend Makers, the podcast where education's true heroes take center stage. And here we are. Welcome back to another episode of Legend Makers podcast. Today I've got with me Dina Skoulos, right? Is that pronounced that right?
Perfect, yeah. Skoulos,
or otherwise known as Miss Tech Queen, right? That's your handle. That's your social media handle on TikTok and Instagram, and you even got your website. It's MissTechQueen.com.
Yeah. Came awesome. From one of my students.
That's amazing. Ones. Very, very cool. I love it. That's great. So they created it. Your students did.
Yeah. When I was teaching technology, one of my students like drew me a picture and she wrote Tech Queen. So like when I first was coming up with like a teacher Instagram, I was like, what am I going to call it? And then I like saw that a little picture and I was like, oh my gosh, I'm gonna say Miss Tech Queen. Now I'm married, but I'm not changing the Miss part. So
no, it works. You got to keep your brand, right? That's how people know you. That's very good. And you are a technology enrichment teacher in what district in New Jersey?
I'm in Haslett, New Jersey. So Middle Jersey. And yeah, I do technology and enrichment for grades 1 through 4. That's my current role.
1 through 4. And how long have you been teaching?
This is like my 12th year on contract. Okay. My experience has been like all over the place, different things that I've done, but now this is what I've been doing.
Cool. Your teaching philosophy. I'm just reading your lovely bio that I almost messed up as we knew. I almost mispronounced your name. Your teaching philosophy centers around technology, your STEM, you're really into project-based learning and really into the hands-on activities. You do run the online store, Miss Tech Queen. You're also on Teachers Pay Teachers. So yes. We're going to link to all of this in the bio. And you were on... So you do a lot of workshops at ISTE. So I did a poster session at ISTE last year.
That's awesome.
Were you in Denver?
No, I didn't go to that one. I went to the two that were in Philly that were local to where
Very
I am.
Cool.
But yeah, I love doing workshops. I do a lot of stuff at my own district. I teach a lot of like after school workshops, different conferences, online conferences. I like connecting with other teachers.
Great. That's part of the mission here is to get people connected, right? So you were also featured on the PBS NJTV's Learning Live and Camp TV?
Yeah, that was during COVID. When everything was closed down, they came up with like an idea for a TV show to get students doing things at home. So I taught two different like episodes and they were STEM lessons that they put on the TV and online. So that was a cool experience.
Oh, nice. Very cool. And you've got a book, Let's Explore STEM.
Yeah, I have it right here.
Cool.
I had this idea for a few years to just write like an intro book about explaining each letter of STEM. So while I was on maternity leave, this is my project and now it's came to life.
Cool. Open it up. Let's see it. Can you share it with me? I just tried to do one for Little Legends and I butchered it on Ingram Sparks. That's nice.
Yeah, so I got it from a printer, like a actual printer that
Very
I ordered
nice.
From. But
it looks great.
This is after my daughter. She's only two, but you know, one day she'll see. And basically it goes through, just introduces what each letter of STEM means and like how we see it in our everyday world, the engineering design process.
Great.
Like some key points.
Love
Just
it.
A little fun.
Love it. It's adorable.
Read aloud for teachers.
So we can get that on your website as well?
Yeah. I just started this fall. I just got it up. So
it's great. Well, it's so nice to meet you, Dina. Here's what we do here. So as we were talking, you and I, this podcast is for your peers. This is for you to come out and share with other teachers or those looking to get into the profession or just starting out. And we kind of do a 3-question round here that keeps the conversation going. The first one is this. I really like, you don't know me, we've just met, but for those that know me and follow Drone Legends or have been listening to this podcast, I think you're going to be now number 11. So you're number 11.
Awesome.
This one, we can do the Spinal Tap reference. This one goes to 11. So does that ring a bell to you at all?
No.
You have to look it up. Some people will know what that means. So you go to 11. All right. So I was a rough kid growing up at a very young age. So I had a lot of troubles and I was a real problem kid. And I haven't been in education my whole life, right? I only fell into education about 5 years ago as a drone pilot, was invited into a classroom to talk to kids about drones and ended up falling in love with the experience and have built an entire business around it, now serving K through 12. So, and I've met lots of teachers over the course of these 5 years at professional development through our programs or at conferences like ISTE. And I've literally worked with hundreds of you over the years. And I'm always fascinated by the job that you guys do. I will say that my hat is off to you all the time. You guys have one of the hardest jobs in the world, I think. And I just think about what I was like coming up. And I was like the kid that you didn't want in your class.
Oh, so no.
I'm just like, why? I'm so curious. I want to know why did you start teaching?
Yeah, well, that I like that you shared your story, and it's nice to know that maybe, like, you know, 360, some of the kids, they go back around, and now you're in education, and maybe it wasn't your favorite place, so that's good to know.
Yeah.
But, like, my memories of, like, getting into teaching was definitely through, like, middle school and high school. I really loved a lot of my teachers, and I remember they did an after-school club where they would let us go back and help our former teachers. Hmm. So when I was in, like, I guess it would have been, like, eighth grade and definitely high school age, I would go back to help my former fifth grade teacher in her classroom, and she, you know, she taught, like, more of the younger elementary, like, third, fourth grade at the time. And I just, like, loved being hands-on, helping the younger kids. And, like, through my church, through, like Girl Scouts, other activities I did, for some reason, like, younger kids just always, like, gravitated to me. Like, I would be at, like, a party, and all these little girls would be sitting near me, and I was like, what's going on? But I wanted to do something to help people. I wanted to do something that, like, would motivate people and help, like, encourage. Like, I really loved working with children, so I actually thought of being a pediatrician, but I really liked teaching and being up there, and I got some of that experience, like I said, with going and helping my former teachers, and I was like, no, this is definitely what I like to do. So I went to college at Montclair and, like, went right in with my elementary education major and just knew that was the right role for me.
That's cool. Do you have a favorite grade to teach?
Well, I've actually had a couple of different experiences since I started teaching. I got my middle school science certificate too. So when I first was, like, subbing, I was doing middle school science and special. I did my master's in special education. So I was doing a lot with special education in middle school and fifth and sixth grade. And then I landed my first, like, official teaching job was a fourth grade class, and I loved it. They were such a good group of kids. It was so much fun, like, having my own group of, like, students that I was with all day long. But then they, like, kind of what's going on in the last year or two, they had budget cuts. Mm-hmm. So they cut out a class. And they knew that I loved technology, and that's when they offered me, like, a fifth and sixth grade technology class. And that's kind of what has spiraled into, like, everything I do now and all the stuff that I've been doing, because I just took on that fifth and sixth grade role. But I really don't know which grade would be my favorite. I loved everything, like, at the time that I did it. And I still, like, love now the younger kids. I'm with grades 1 through 4, and I enjoy them too.
You said something that we've been talking about a lot here internally when we're trying to talk about, like, well, what kind of value do we provide for people in terms of my business? And you just said something that we actually were talking about this morning, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it sounded to me like you were teaching fourth grade, and then there were some cuts, and you were brought into this technology or STEM kind of, you're going to teach STEM now, or you're going to do technology. Tell me about that. Did you have a tech background? And so now you're Miss Tech Queen. Okay. So, and how many years ago was that, by the way?
This was, like, 10 years ago, I'd say, at this point. Yeah. It's almost probably 10 years ago. So, yeah, what happened was, when I first came into the district, I always loved technology. So, like, my dad, like, he always was like someone that got like the new devices, the new technology at the home. Like, you know, back whenever, like when I was like little, he had like the first car phone, the first TV in the car, like just liked gadgets and new stuff. Mm-hmm. And I was like that growing up too. Like I always was like finding things and downloading things. So for me, I just always gravitated to technology. So I started teaching workshops at that point in my school. So I was like someone that was always going to like the professional development days and like volunteering to teach something. So I think they just knew that I liked it and that it was probably something I could teach. But mm-hmm. honestly, I was like shocked when they first told me like, you're going to teach technology. Cause I was like, what? Like, I didn't even think of it as like, you know, I would teach like a computer type class for fifth and sixth grade. But then I loved it because it was like two of my passions together. Like I was teaching about something that I loved. And then I also was teaching. So I was like, oh my gosh, this is like my favorite. Like I loved it. It was like my favorite thing. It was easy. Like I didn't have to, you know, like fake it. Like, oh, I'm mm-hmm. teaching you this one thing. And you're like, the kids are like, when will you use this? I'm like, I don't know.
So you were, what kind of tech when you first started out? So tell me about what kind of tech you were teaching. What did it look like?
Well, at that point, it was like regular desktop computers, just Microsoft programs on there. Mm-hmm. I actually was the person that piloted and started Google accounts for like the whole district in my school. Okay.
Oh, wow. Cool.
So at that point, like Google for like education was literally just starting. So the first year was very like simple, basic. I would teach students like how to do slideshows in Word and, you know, very simple. And then like I started pushing for Google, and then we ended up becoming like a Google school. So once that came out, I was able to teach the students more about that. Mm-hmm. And then that was also the time where like the Hour of Code initiative was just newly starting. So I went like full force for that. And after my like first year, I started to want to do something different in the classroom. So that's when I started incorporating STEM and like hands-on things like on my own. I wrote grants for like a 3D printer, for robots, like everything was pretty like new, at least being used in the classroom setting. Yeah. So I was trying to just get like anything I could, all these new things, all these new companies, like, you know, like getting Ozobots. They were like just forming, right. Like yeah. Everything like that. So it was fun.
Oh, wow. So it's safe to say then that you are kind of living the dream in a lot of ways because you had, you know, you're doing your why. So why is always powerful, right? So when you think about why do you do something, that's always the root cause, right? Like, what is it that makes me do this? And so that's why when we start this off, I want people to understand that behind every teacher, there's a powerful why, right? So in your case, it was, you really loved working with kids. You gravitated towards that. You liked becoming kind of like the mentor to kids, working with them. And then when you got the opportunity to blend technology in with working with kids, it was kind of a match made in heaven. Yeah. You got to take your love of tech and your love of working with kids, and you got to marry that. And today, look where you are, Miss Tech Queen. I'm loving your sign behind you, by the way.
It's really cool. It's been a journey.
Yeah, and you're also then, I'll say, an entrepreneur. Because you've got the business angle in you. I've watched all of your content. I'm looking at your content. I'm going over to your Teachers Pay Teachers. I'm on your website. And you are actually a business person as well. And
which some of us call it accidental entrepreneur because I also did not know like where that would take me either.
So tell me about that. Like how did that start and why do you do it? Are you looking to, I guess what I'm getting at is, were there things sometimes here, I heard a saying the other day is sometimes the best entrepreneurs and the best businesses are when someone kind of scratches an itch, right? You know, like were you missing something and you said, well, I can fulfill that. I can fill that gap.
Well, I actually never really knew what Teachers Pay Teachers was because I would make all my own stuff myself. Mm-hmm. So like while I was teaching that fifth and sixth grade setting, I was making my own projects, making my own things. And then what happened was after 3 years of that, the superintendent wanted me to go to the lower grades because they didn't have as much like hands-on and new tech like mm-hmm. activities going on there. So they moved me into the kindergarten school and the 1-4 elementary schools. So I was in two schools teaching about 350 kids. I was actually rolling around on a cart in the kindergarten school for 10 classes. And I basically was just said, here, you know, go. And there was nothing like nothing to really follow. So I started making all my own activities, keeping it simple, keeping it easy, because photocopying like, you know, three pages or like a booklet or something for that many kids was just like not doable.
Right.
I only had 40 minute classes. So I started making all my own ideas. And then like one day someone randomly told me, oh, you know, there's like a website you can put your stuff on. You can like sell things. And I was like, really? So I thought like, who, you know, how would that work? So I started doing it. That was in 2018.
Yeah.
Okay. And yeah, like if you talk to anyone else who does like Teachers Pay Teachers, a lot of us have the same story, but it's like, I remember I made like $4 and I was like thrilled, like, oh my gosh, like this, you know, this is awesome.
Do you have the first dollar like taped up on your wall somewhere, like in a pizzeria?
No, I should though, but that's good. But I always like remember, but yeah, it kind of just snowballed. Like I started adding things. I started adding more things. And then it also was something that I realized, like, this is also something that I'm passionate about. Like seeing teachers in, you know, Europe, teachers in Asia, like all different countries being like, oh, I love it. My students loved it.
That's
great. Like, wow, like this is so awesome. So that became like another huge passion of mine. And it made me like more creative. And I always think like, well, what could I do? And everything I do, I like make it for my own students. I try it. I always want to come up with like new activities for them. So it's kind of just like a circle that like I'm using it in my classroom. It's pushing me to be more creative with them. And then I'm also able to share it with teachers all around the world. And the business, you know, aspect of it has helped me with my life, like, you know, houses and things like that.
Oh, so tell me about that. How so? I'm curious.
Well, like, I mean, the income that I make from that stuff has helped me do more things in my own life with my
family.
Great. So
that's very cool.
It's been good.
That's fun. I think that's, yeah. And I'm watching you. Do you do all your own website and stuff? Is that all you managing that?
Yeah. And like that's said, great. Like a lot of us joke that it's like an accidental entrepreneur because at first I was like, oh, you know, cool. Like I'm making some extra money. And then you realize like, oh wait, I have to do taxes and I have to do like all of this business stuff. And I didn't go to school for business. I don't know anything about managing a business. And Right. Yeah, it kind of morphs into that. So my husband is my CFO.
Okay, good.
I'm like, you're the CFO. You're in charge of that stuff. But yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot because I'm still teaching full time. So I'm juggling what is basically two full-time jobs.
And your mom.
And I have a two-year-old daughter. Yeah, I just had my daughter.
Which is another job. So you've got three jobs.
And a wife. That counts too.
And a wife. Ah, that's
sometimes husbands can be like big babies.
I am one. Trust me, I know. just ask my wife.
Yeah, In the last year, it's definitely been a lot, but I try to juggle it all.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, and so what is the biggest challenge that you find in, like, let's go back to teaching. So when you're teaching, you know, the technology classes or whatever it might be, what do you find to be most challenging for you? Like,
I think the way things are going lately, I honestly think it's a bit of like the behaviors. I do think that some of like the overall, I don't know, maybe just the way things are, it can be, there's a lot more challenging behaviors. And I also find that, like, unfortunately, I notice a little bit of a decline with students like creativity, which is why I think it's so important to have a hands-on class. I don't know if it's, you know, because like I, you know, me being Miss Tech Queen, like I love technology, but I do think everything in moderation. And I think maybe some students are too much with like devices and certain things. And I don't know if they're letting their brains like just get creative and play and do like the simple things that they used to do, because in my classes, especially like the enrichment class, is more like a STEM, so problem solving, little challenges. And I noticed in the last couple of years that a lot of students struggle with doing like a, you know, basic building challenges. So I think like something like what you do, after school clubs, like all of these are so important, because I think some of them are losing that, unfortunately.
I find that to be such a shame. And that's not the first I've heard of that. So you kind of said two things there. There's one, which is behavior. And I think that probably stems from home.
Yeah.
And then two, there's this kind of tuning out, lack of creativity, hands-on, it seems like screens are...
I don't think they're getting as much exposure as they used to. So
that's
crazy. It is. But I've noticed, like, even if I give, you know, a similar activity, like things that my kindergartners used to do, I now see that the older students are struggling, and it's like surprising.
That is. And I think, what do we do about that? I think there's got to be some sort of a pendulum swing back away from all the, like when we were developing our program called Little Legends, we spoke with a lot of teachers. That's a kindergarten through like second grade program. And, you know, we are drones techie, but those kids, they can't fly drones at that age. The teacher actually flies it in demos. It's, you know, you want to fly one? We'll teach you how to fly one.
So
we were told that one of the things that when we spoke with other educators, we were told that these kids have forgotten, they don't know how to play. Like they don't. And it was like, wow, how is that even possible? So we tried to build that into our program. And it looks like from what I've seen of your materials, you've got a lot of that learning through doing, that hands-on kind of interactive stuff. So I think it's important that we all, you know, in the education community, we've got to get these kids back off of screens and back into like playing. I don't know how we handle you're not the first person that I've heard about the behaviors too, which is kind of a shame, because there's not a lot that you guys can do about that in the schools, right? And because they carry that from somewhere.
I think a lot of it just stems from life. Like a lot of people, you know, parents are busy. I mean, now that I am a parent, like I understand, and people don't have help, and you know, two parents are working, or there might be single parents, and it's a lot. It's overwhelming. It's exhausting. And I get it. People give the TV, or the, you know, the kids are on the iPads, but the thing is, a little bit, you know, I think is fine. And it depends on the age too, I would say. But if they're going home and they're watching TV for an hour, and then they're on their iPad for an hour, and then they're playing a video game for an hour, well, now that's, you know, that's all they did was 3 hours of just
screen time.
So
I
think they're losing some of that, or they're so used to, like, you know, that instant, like even us, if you go on your phone and it's not loading right away, you're like, what is happening? Like, so
it's
we're
wild
so,
how
we're
become
so used
that.
To it. Yeah.
We're so over, and adults too. It's all of us.
I think it is. Like
who saw that coming?
Which is hard when you're running a business. I'm sure you know too. Like you want to be online doing things, answering things. And then you're like, I'm always on my phone. Like I need to cut off. It's hard.
You have to stop yourself. It's wild. Like you have to, it is that addicting. There's so, I mean, all of that notwithstanding, it sounds like you still love what you do.
Yeah, I do.
And so I guess where I'd go from here is then kind of my second question to you is, for those looking to get into the profession, or for those just starting out, you know, what is your advice? What would you tell somebody that's like thinking about it, or is kind of, I'm going in and they're just on their way, they're getting started?
I would say, like, kind of like what you said in the beginning, always remember your why, what you hope like keep your head on and like your stay in like your like lane or your path for what you hope, because there are going to be ups and downs in teaching. Teaching does have super difficult days, but if it's something that you're passionate about and you feel that urge and you love it, then like it will be great for you. So stay out of the teacher's room.
Out of the teacher's room?
Yeah.
Why is that?
Because sometimes it gets too negative with complaints. So don't listen to everyone around you. Do what like you want in your classroom and, you know, stay positive. I there's a teacher that I knew. She had taught, I think it was almost 40 years, maybe 45, wow. Like a long time. And this woman, she just retired like only a few years ago. When you walked in her classroom, it looked like a first year teacher classroom, as people say, like decorated, things hanging. She was a ball of energy, like loved. And I always looked at her, like I always remember her, and I will, and like was like, I hope that's me, because you never know that she was like in her 60s, taught for so many years. Like that's like, you have to think of someone or find someone like that and just keep like that focus, because there can be like negativity and, you know, there's days where you're like, this is tough and it's getting tougher. But I would say if you want to do it and you think that this is your passion, you know, go for it, stick with it, and just stay in your lane.
So that's surround yourself with positive, right? Find the positives and surround yourself with to stay away from the negative. That's sage advice. How about any other strategies that you can think of for keeping your cool? Like, for example, you said it is getting tougher. It can feel negative, right? We've got a polarized kind of world right now that we live in. You're either here or you're here. And I know most of us really actually live here, but we hear all of this noise. And so any other strategies, coping mechanisms that you go to? Like, what's your go-to for a stressful day?
A piece of chocolate.
Oh yeah? What kind of chocolate?
I'm like, someone give me a cookie. I like Reese's Pieces.
There you go. But, you're getting Reese's Pieces. All right.
Yeah. I mean, I think like in your own classroom, you definitely need good behavior management strategies, you know, positive reinforcement, stick to things. If there are issues, then give the consequences. Don't be afraid to give the consequences. Stick with it. But overall, I mean, I think the other thing that is that we do have to separate like work from home. I mean, I always was someone like that put everything into teaching. I got perfect attendance for 8 years in a row. Like my parents instilled in me like good work ethic, and I still do like put my best effort in, but I've also learned that I do have to step away. I do have to take a break. Like some days I do have to leave right away and come home, and now I'm a mom. Like it's different. Right. So even for a young teacher, like you want to stay there till 6 p.m. You want to do all this stuff on the weekend, but like give yourself some breaks. You know, it's okay to like work when you're at work and take some time at home, because otherwise it becomes overwhelming. It's too much.
That's right. You'll burn out.
Yeah.
You'll burn out, right? It's like anything else. Like overkill, you will fry out. You've got to recharge.
Yeah.
So any books, resources, websites, podcasts like this, or anything else that you can think of for send people? We love to send people to cool resources. If you've got like, oh, I did this course, or I found this really cool website, or if there's anything like that that we can link to, those are the greatest things, because people can just go find them. If not, it's cool.
The one book that comes to my mind, and it's an old book, but it's called The First Days of School by Harry Wong.
Yes.
It was like a classic book they used to give out like and talk about when I was in school, but it had like great quotes about being an effective teacher. And like, I still remember some of them. Like one of them I always think about, it was just that like you might be the only positive adult in that student's life that they see on a daily basis. And, you know, going back to you saying that you might have been a tough student, like we do have those tough students, and you have like sad stories and all of these things, but then like you always have to take a step back and say like, what is this child going through? For a 6-7 year old kid might be going through things that like I can't even process as an adult. Right. So Yeah.
I like that. So remember that you might be the one highlight of somebody's day.
Yeah.
If they're going through, especially at a young, young age like that, like a 7, 8-year-old child, you don't know, they may look real forward, even though they're troubled. You might be the one positive moment of their day.
I know.
That's huge. That's really, that's a big responsibility too, but I think that's super gratifying. I mean, I know when I go and work with young kids, I love it. Like I'm the same way as you. I think I didn't end up teaching. I ended up doing this side of it, but I love going to the schools and I love meeting the kids. And I look back on now my life and it seems like, oh yeah, of course. Like all the kids were always like here. Like when my kid was little, there was like an open door policy at my house. Like they were all at my, they weren't at the neighbor's house. They weren't at the person that they were all here.
Yeah.
And I just have an affinity for working with, I love working with kids. They're fun, right? I'm a big kid. Anybody will tell you I'm an old guy. I'm an old guy and I'm a big kid, right? I never grew up.
That's how I feel. It's like you're forever in school.
yeah. It's great. And then, so that's good. So I like the Harry Wong. It's not the first time we've heard that book. I think that's a great resource. I love the quote. I really like that whole idea of you being the spark in someone's day. It, even if it's that one day, having a rough day, you may be the game changer for that person. So that's big. That's huge. And then on that note, you know, I'm an optimist. I say this every time I talk to people. I literally, and those that know me will tell you that I am a perpetual optimist. I see the good in just about everything. As an entrepreneur, it gives me the ability to kind of think that I can do of just about anything. And sometimes it's a good thing and sometimes it's a bad thing. I might take on sometimes more than I can chew. But overall, I tend to find, I look for the silver lining in everything. It's real easy to get pulled into the negative. I stay away from a lot of that stuff and I try to stay very positive. I love what I do. I feel like I'm the luckiest guy in the world right now doing what I get to do. And so on that note of positivity, you know, what you're on the edge of tech, right? So you're working with tech, but it doesn't have to be technology. I just want to understand, what are you excited about? What are you optimistic about as it relates to education? You know, because it's easy to say, oh God, the educational system's broken. But, you know, I've heard otherwise from people like you that still are in the trenches doing the work, enjoying what they're doing and making a difference in kids' lives. So what are you looking forward to? What's on the horizon?
I feel like for me, it's mostly like just to see what things are created in the future. I think, like my students that I have now, by the time they get to high school and college, like there will be new jobs that we can't even think of right now that we probably can't even process, you know, in our brains. Right. So I'm interested to see like what's to come, like what things they do. In my classroom, I really try to expose them to just all different things that maybe they wouldn't have gotten a chance to do in like in a typical homeroom class. So we're doing green screen movies. We're doing stop motion animation. I teach them the code, you know, basic coding. They see different robots, like you're talking about the drones. I like always think and hope that like one of those students come back and maybe they're doing some stop motion animation movie, or like even like you, maybe one day you have some kid that works in with drones and does something for the military or, you know, whatever. And they're like, oh, I started because I loved your drone class. So that's what I always think of, like what types of things like will they accomplish, will they do, will they get into or have their interests develop like from being in this at such a young age. So I'm hoping like it snowballs at whatever, maybe I expose them to something in the first through fourth grade that becomes their passion. So I just get excited to see like what new inventions, like a lot, you know, what things come out down the line.
Yeah. I was talking, my son's turning 19 in a month and we were talking about where things are going for him. I you know, I'm getting up there and I remember when, you know, my TV was black and white. And so, you know, I'm a Gen Xer, so I've seen a lot, right? So I've seen
crazy. Cause like when I talk with my students, I'm like telling them things. I'm like, I'm not even that old. Like, I feel like,
imagine what you've seen. Changed. I was a kid in the 70s, a teenager in the 80s.
Yeah.
And I've seen everything from no tech like very little, you know, there was no computers. Yeah. I mean, a Casio watch in the 70s, and then all the way through, and you think about it and you go, wow, what's next? Like, yeah, what's the next big thing? It seems like it's AI. You know, I know there's a lot going around about that. I mean, I'm into it. I work with it a lot. I try to understand it and use it and all that. But you know, what's the next big thing? Like, the internet was the big thing for us, right? For my generation, it was, wow, the internet. And then all the connected devices was like the next big thing. And so there's a lot out there. It's going to be interesting to see what the next 10 to 15 to 20 years brings in terms of, because the technology is just getting faster.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, it's scary, but you wonder like what's to come. And like, you know, the students that are in school now are going to be the ones creating and coming up with ideas. So
that's right. Well, this has been fun. Any last parting words for your fellow teachers out there? Any advice, any last, you know, hey, this is your sign off, right?
I would say just like start small and stay focused on what brings you joy. And, you know, even with social media, I know that some teachers got like kind of like intimidated with seeing lots of like posts or things. So, you know, don't believe everything you see, and, you know, use things for like motivation or use things for ideas, but you don't have to have like the most perfect classroom or the perfect lesson. Like, things go wrong all the time, and just enjoy it and have fun.
I love that. Just be you, right? Just do your thing. Don't try to, it's the same thing with like the Instagram influencers, right? Like, don't look at those perfect classrooms, because they're not. Yeah. Right. You know, they're not, they're just, that's a facade. That's the cherry picking. And that's all that, you know, there's all kinds of stuff that goes on behind the scenes.
Yeah. So
this is great. Dina, it is so nice to meet you. Thank you so much. I'm sure everybody will love listening to this podcast. You dropped a lot of good stuff here today, and I'm going to start following you. Everybody will follow you at Miss Tech Queen. Your Instagram's cool. Your TikTok's really cool. We'll get people over to your website as well. A lot of great resources there, as well as on Teachers Pay Teachers.
Yes. Thank you so much for having me. It was so much fun.
All right. So nice to meet you. Take care. Bye-bye.